The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I'm not going to torture you with having to listen to Mayor Bowser. She's speaking right now. But basically, I watched an interview that the head of the D.C. Police Union did with Sandra Smith on Fox News. And he said that they completely agree with this. And the big problem is that the laws that have been passed in the last 5 years in D.C. have completely tied the hands of the police, completely tied their hands. And they have a woke prosecutor who doesn't charge people. And as Judge Jeanine pointed out today in the press conference, which we'll play clips from, they can't do anything with juveniles. In fact, the head of the police union was saying that when they have a juvenile, they have to get permission, the police do, get permission to arrest them. And 9 times out of 10, even if it's a heinous crime, they don't get the permission. And the bottom line is this. People want safe streets. They want safe streets. And all the people in the media bubble, like at CNN, who are freaking out over this today, they live in safe neighborhoods. They live in apartment buildings with security guards and locks. You know what I mean? Like, all these talking heads on TV, to get into their luxury building, you need to sign in. There's a doorman. And there's like a process. It's not the streets. It's not the hood. It's not Anacostia. It's not the parts of D.C. where there's actually crime. As far as the National Guard goes, you know something? We've had the National Guard utilized at Penn Station in New York every day since 9/11. Now, I've taken the train up there a million times. Have you ever been stopped by the National Guard and told you need to get your politics in line and that you need to be MAGA or else? No, they're there just making sure that there are no terrorists. And their presence is welcomed by people because it's a deterrent. And they're not going over and harassing people about their politics. They're not jailing Trump's political enemies. They're just doing their job. So when you hear the National Guard is coming to D.C. to assist law enforcement, it's like, ooh, oh, my God, this is the militarization of America. That's how the left's reacting, the militarization of America. Of course, in reality, if the National Guard is there to make sure you're wearing your MAGA hat, if the National Guard's there to police your speech, or if the National Guard's there to make sure that you are praising Donald Trump, then yes, we have a problem. If they're there, however, to assist law enforcement in their function, then criminals have a problem. See, that's the difference. That's the difference right there, in a nutshell. When the military is used in dictatorships, it's to go after people's political enemies. You know, kind of like how law enforcement was used in this country in the previous administration, to go after its political enemies and to intimidate the citizenry. You know, moms at school board meetings, for example. Just saying, you might be a terrorist, so zip it, lady. The FBI might be watching you. Catholics praying in Latin, people praying at abortion clinics, guys shopping at Cabela's, buying fishing hats. Would that be a hat that fishes? I don't really know, but either way, you get the point. If the National Guard is there to assist law enforcement in their function and they're not involved politically, going up to people on the streets and going, are you MAGA? And then if the answer is no, hauling them off to jail, then we're fine. We don't have anything to worry about. Criminals, however, do have something to worry about, because then the police, who are incredibly shorthanded in D.C., they have over, I believe, 900 vacancies, and that number may be higher. I caught what the head of the police union said. They're 4,000 officers. They have a mandatory overtime requirement, and it's some crazy number that he said. I don't want to say it out of turn, but it's a ridiculously high number of mandatory overtime because they're so understaffed. So this frees them up to go after criminals, But the problem is, and this is why Trump needs to federalize them, he's doing that because the laws in D.C. tie the hands of the police in such a way that they can't do their job. They can't do their job under the law in D.C. The city council has made it, much like how Larry Krasner has made it here in Philadelphia, and all these other Soros-funded woke prosecutors across the country have made it. Cops are the bad guys. The criminals are the victims of society. I was talking about this Friday night. Shameless plug. I was on Ingram Engel, hosted by Charlie Hurt, who's a really nice guy, by the way. Really nice guy. And we had this conversation, and I said, people want safe streets, and Democrats have a problem right now because they are on the side of criminals. They're on the side of criminals, and they look like they are crazy. I mean, there was a time when, I remember this, when Bill Clinton stood up at the State of the Union and said he was going to go after the Bloods and the Crips, and he declared war on gang violence. You know, if you're a Gen Xer, you are definitely, or if you're the generation after that, or maybe possibly a millennial, or you've just seen the Compton movie, you know that there was a time when that was all everybody was talking about, the Bloods and the Crips. Now, they're still active. They just don't get the coverage they used to get. But there was a time, consumed everybody. And Bill Clinton, as president in the 90s, dispatched the federales to go after the Bloods and the Crips. In fact, this is going to shock you. And don't tell anyone. But believe it or not, federal law enforcement has been working with state and local units for a long, long time in what they call JTFs, Joint Task Forces, or force, depending on whether it be plural in the context of which I just said it. I'm not the grammar expert on the station. I'll leave that to Dawn to interpret, but you get the point. They have joint federal task forces on everything from gambling to drugs to prostitution to the mafia that doesn't exist, obviously. But if it did exist, then the feds would partner with the state and local units to go after the mob. Nothing really new here, other than the fact that because we have a mayor in D.C. and a city council in D.C. that does not want to go after crime, the president is using his authority, since D.C. is not a state, to be able to implement federal authority over D.C. This is also not the first time this has happened. And it won't be the last, because it won't last forever. The bottom line is this. Whether you're a state unit or you're a local unit, chances are you have a manpower problem, people power. I don't want to offend Justin Trudeau if he's listening, but you might have a manpower problem. You might have an overtime problem, which is a budget problem. And if you're offered help, you take it. So if you're a city or a county and the state wants to help go after really bad guys, you take it. If the feds want to help, you take the help. Now you have your little jurisdictional conflicts every now and then. A lot of that's hyped up on television. But for the most part, you work out the staying in the lanes issue, but you're happy to have the extra manpower because you are overworked and you don't have enough guys and gals and you don't have enough money. And particularly if you are in a city, you have another problem, which is you're dealing with a prosecutor who doesn't prosecute. And you're dealing with the city mayor and council, and this is a lot of cities across the country, that don't want you going after criminals. Why? Very easy to understand. It's not easy to understand because you have a brain. So you have to kind of take the rational part of your brain out and leave it on the table. Basically, they view criminals as victims of society. Society's largesse. They view criminals as victims of capitalism, white supremacy, male patriarchy, cisgender. I don't know. They just blame. It's always blame. The criminals are the victims, the real people, The real criminals are the oligarchs. Yes. Which is very much how commies view crime. I mean, that's really what it is. You read the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx writes all about this. In fact, his argument is that there would be no crime in communism because everybody has equal stuff. So there's no reason to steal because you all have the same amount of stuff. You all have the same, and everybody lives in a wonderful, happy commune, sharing the bread and the vegetables and the wives, maybe. And there's no problems and no issues. And I don't know if that's ever possible. I just know that every time they seem to have tried it, it has failed miserably, even in places like Cuba. Well, we had a Trudeau reference earlier, so I'm just making sure. Anyway, point being, in real life, in reality, crime is a very rational thing. Sure is. Why not? Why work hard if you can steal? Why work hard if you can take other people's stuff? I mean, the government does it. The government's the biggest thief I know. There's a bumper sticker I saw once. It said, don't steal. The government hates competition. I love that. But really, crime is very rational. Rational actors commit crimes every day. Now, there's not to say that all criminals are smart. Most of them are idiots. But there are rational reasons for breaking the law because you don't want to work hard and you want to find a quick way to make money. And you decide that you can move product. You can be in a gang. You don't have to go to a job. You don't have to go to an office. You don't have to wear a shirt and a tie. You just be a gangsta. You got the gangsta life. And when you can't go after the gangsters because they're protected by prosecutors and the hands of the cops are tied, then that puts the residents who do work in jeopardy. The people that are most affected by crime are black and brown people, as the left calls them, because everybody has to be in a box of crayons, you know. They're black and brown people in these neighborhoods. They're not the white elite liberals who will be condemning this. They're not the talking heads on CNN. Their neighborhoods are safe. It's the residents of these cities who live in places or work there and have to walk through parks that have homeless encampments in them, with people shooting up with drugs, and they have to worry about their safety. They can't walk through the park at night. They're afraid to go out to dinner. And they're paying taxes because they work for a living and they want better. Nobody, and I mean this, nobody wants crime. Everybody wants safe streets. However, the problem with the Democrat Party has become that they have become the party of the faculty lounge. And years of theorizing about the root cause of crime and professors writing books and papers and professors pontificating about how, well, you know, there'd be no crime if society's largesse were saw, blah, 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 blah. And fancy rich people such as Soros getting people who are district attorneys elected across the country, taking over the courthouses with the belief that the cops are the bad guys there to continue America's long history of white supremacy and patriarchy and whatever other wacky lefty idea they came up with in the faculty lounge. Then, yeah, you graduate with a degree and you think that I need to become a social justice warrior. And these criminals wouldn't be so bad if you just had a social worker in their lives. They're not bad people. They've just had bad circumstances. And they can't comprehend for a second. No, maybe since the dawn of time, we've been dealing with there's always the guy that wanders into the village and decides, hey, I mean, I could go hunt a tiger, or I can just take theirs. The fresh kill. So me and my buddies, we're going to go kill everybody in the village, take their tiger, and while we're at it, yeah, we'll take their wives too. Literally, since the dawn of civilization, we've had a problem with this. It's why they're night owls. True. No, night owls are a real thing. And people who are biologically more inclined to be awake at night, to when their senses are more alert. Because back in the day, we didn't have lights. I mean, I don't think the light bulb was invented until like 1979 or something like that. So prior to that, we had to rely on the moon and the stars and whatnot. Well, they had gas lamps, too. They were invented in the 1960s. But prior to that, it was basically nothing. Candles. So there was a time when people had to be on guard at night to make sure that their village was not raided by other villagers in other places. So they would do night watch. And that's why there are morning people, too, because the night people had to go to sleep and the morning people had to wake up and then they had to take over. And then they also had to do all the things that morning people do, like annoy us. Point being, crime has always been a problem. War is always a problem. It's human nature. What you do is you create methods to deter people from acting on their worst impulses and their worst instincts. You create rules for society, and we all agree to live by those rules for the greater good. So we agree that in order to have this republic, we're not going to steal from each other, we're not going to rob each other, we're not going to kill each other, we're not going to do all these things. And then we hire people to enforce those laws on our behalf to make sure that people don't do those things. However, just having those laws written down doesn't mean everybody follows them. Some people don't like to follow the rules. So you hire rule keepers, police, law enforcement. They're there to go get the bad guys and to keep the bad guys from doing bad things. And if the bad guys do bad things, to go get the bad guys and put them away so other bad guys see that the bad guys went away and then they won't do bad things. And if they do, they join them in a bad guy place called prison. You could spend all damn day and every day of the year for the next 50 years having theoretical conversations about what makes one a criminal. Is it nature versus nurture? Is it biology? Is it their upbringing? Is it America's colonialist past? Whatever. Bottom line is this. No one cares. They don't. They just want the crime gone. That's it. They want safe streets. Bottom line. Nobody who's walking down the road at night and gets mugged as they're lying there waiting for the police to show up is sitting there going, I wonder if Professor Jones was right. And that young man who just knocked me out and stole my purse, he just had a tough childhood. Or maybe it was Professor Claudia who suggested that something in his genetic core played. No. The other thing is, when are the freaking cops going to get here? The idea of this moment in the Democrat Party right now, where they're objecting to help from the feds when D.C. has the highest murder rate in the country. And if D.C. were a state, it would have the highest murder rate of any state in the country. D.C.'s murder rate is greater than New York City's by four times. Double Los Angeles, double Compton, speaking of Compton, straight out of Compton, baby. And it is far worse than Newark, New Jersey. Double Newark, New Jersey. And I didn't think you could double Newark, New Jersey, but they did. They managed to. So they have a problem. In most places, when there's a problem, somebody offers you help, you've got limited manpower, people power, human power. You can't say human because that is man in it. Limited manpower. Limited money, limited budgets, limited OT, that's overtime. You take the help. This way, the National Guard can be there to intimidate criminals, and the police can go catch them because they have a lot of crimes that are open, in addition to all the ones that will be committed. Yeah, I know this will shock you, but as of right now, they have open cases. It's true. So when you put it all together, you have the park police and you have the FBI and you have the National Guard, since there's no state police to call up in D.C. Like, we've had issues where And nobody thought it was a big deal. Even Democrat governors sent the New Jersey State Police to Camden to help out, to be an extra presence, to help Camden. They sent the New Jersey State Police to Newark. No big deal. Nobody freaked out. But D.C. doesn't have a state police. So you have to send in the National Guard. And as long as the National Guard does not start harassing citizens and making sure they're MAGA, then we don't have anything to worry about. But the bad guys do. And that's why the left is freaking out about this, because they really don't want anyone going after the criminals, because the criminals are the victims. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. I appreciate you being here. We got a lot to talk about. Great stuff ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Alaska. Alaska's a great place to go this time of year, by the way. Really great place to go. This time, I think it was 2019, maybe. I forget. We did a Zeoli Army. At that time, we became the Zeoli Navy. Cruise to Alaska. That was great. A lot of fun. Beautiful time of year to go. The president is going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin in Alaska very soon. Historic summit with Putin in Alaska. We'll talk about that as well. But on this issue of crime in D.C., I want to play for you a clip of the head of the D.C. Police Union. And then we'll play you a clip of the mayor of D.C. So the president announcing today he's sending in the National Guard, and you have Judge Jeanine Pirro explaining some of the problems, how she can't, they can't go after juveniles. You have Doug Burgum, who's the head of the Interior Department, who oversees the Park Police and the role that they play in all this. The FBI Director, Kash Patel, talking about how they successfully worked in Virginia with the governor to go after criminals. You see, the difference is that you have a Republican governor in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, who was very happy to have the help. Very happy to have the help and took it. Whereas the mayor of D.C. doesn't want the help and is fighting it. And the Democrats are all screaming, hair on fire, that you're giving federal resources to help a municipality. D.C. is a municipality. It's a city. It's all it is. It's a city. If it were a state, it would be a state that was racked with crime. And the president's powers here would be much limited, but the governor of D.C. would have a state police, and the state police would be doing the job, the function that the president is using the federales for. And the federal government then would just be dealing with their property. But D.C. is not a state, and hopefully it never becomes a state. It should not be, as per the Constitution, although the Democrat Party is going to try like hell to make it one, is then they'll get two guaranteed senators and a guaranteed member of Congress, a member of the House. That's three more electoral votes if D.C. becomes a state, assuming that they, because they would have to have a seat in the House. Every state is allowed representation in the House. So even if you kept the number at the same number of 435, some states losing a seat and giving it to D.C., or they just add one. But either way, they'd get a seat in the House. So you'd have three electoral votes, another three votes for the Democrat running for president. And they need that to offset the red state advantage that's going to happen after they redistrict in 2030. And all the illegal aliens who hopefully won't be counted in the census. And the blue states are going to lose seats. Point being that D.C. is a municipality. The feds are offering help. They say, no, we don't want your help. Well, then the feds turn around and go, well, we don't need your permission because you are not a state. You are this weird political jurisdiction that has always been under the control of the federal government. And we, the federal government, allow you to self-govern, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we take that power back from you, and sometimes we let you self-govern. And every time you seem to self-govern, you seem to mess it up. So then we come back and we take power back for a little while, and then we give it back to you, and then you mess up again. And then this seesaw has been going on for a long, long time. And it's a strange, lefty, wacky universe. And frankly, you know, in some ways, They got to wonder, like, why D.C., Washington, D.C., which I lived, I used to live there at some point. Why Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, has such a problem with crime? And it's because it has a lot of very bad neighborhoods. And it is a city that for the last several years now has had a very lefty mayor and a very lefty city council that passed all these laws tying the hands of the police. So here is the head of the D.C. Police Union, Chairman Greg Pemberton, who was on America Reports with Sandra Smith earlier today. Take a listen.
We completely agree with the president that, crime in the District of Columbia is out of control and something needs to be done with it. We have to go back to how we got here, though. In 2020, the D.C. City Council passed an enormous amount of legislation that handcuffed police officers, exposes them to administrative, civil, and even criminal liability, even when they do their jobs properly. And now, 5 years later, our authorized sworn strength is 4,000 sworn police officers. We currently have 3,180. So we have more than 800 vacancies for the position of police officer. And the way the department makes up for that gap is through 2 million hours of mandatory overtime every year. So the fact that we need help from federal law enforcement and maybe even the National Guard, it shouldn't come as a surprise, and we agree with that. I think one of the issues here, though, is that we all know that's going to be temporary. So in order to fix this problem and make sure that it doesn't ebb and flow and that the feds come in and we lower crime and then they leave and we're left holding the bag, it's very important that people know that there is underlying legislation that needs to be corrected. So that we can actually properly staff this police department in order to properly police the city.
See, you have a very lefty mayor and a very lefty city council that passed very lefty laws that tied the hands of the police. And they can't do their job. So the police are happy. They're psyched. They're getting help. 2 million hours of OT a year. Mandatory. Now, everybody likes OT, time and a half, but that's expensive. That's very expensive. OT is expensive. Everybody likes it who's on the job, but you're paying for that OT. 2 million hours a year of mandatory overtime. So they're happy for the help. The police are happy to have the support. But he said it. At some point, the feds leave. Even though they're there, they leave. They leave in the capacity in which they're going to be helping. And then they're back to where they were. Because the underlying problem is that you have a woke prosecutor, woke mayor, woke city council. They pass laws that are soft on crime, tie the hands of the cops, and the cops can't do their job. Sounds familiar? Yeah, it's because it's what we're dealing with in Philadelphia. It's what we're dealing with in so many cities across the country. But the president doesn't have power in those cities the way he does in D.C. It's a much bigger to-do for him to start sending in federal law enforcement into cities that don't want the help. It becomes more problematic, where it's very easy to do in D.C. You just pull a switch. That doesn't mean there won't be a lawsuit. I'm sure a federal judge will immediately put a halt to this, probably before the end of the show. But ultimately, the president is acting within the power given the D.C. municipal charter. As I mentioned, D.C. is a municipality. It's all it is. And it's a municipality that was created by the federal government, and it exists in its governing function as long as the federal government lets it. It's not a state. It does not have the same powers that states have under our system of federalism. It doesn't have a governor. The mayor is not a governor. And D.C. does not have a state police because it's not a, what's the word for it? State. Right. So the Metropolitan Police Department is very happy to have the help of the feds. I don't blame them. I would be too. Here is the president today announcing he's invoking D.C. Home Rule Act. This is cut number one from his press conference earlier this morning. Take a listen.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back. under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States, I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control. And you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough. And they know what's happening, and they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly.
Oh, my God! Not the National Guard! This is one step closer to the militarization of America. Because the National Guard is there to make sure everybody's wearing their MAGA hats. And everyone has to say, when they pass a National Guard troop, praise Trump. It's true. It's in the executive order that he signed. Allegedly. I haven't read it, but I think it's probably in there. Based on the reaction in the media, it probably is in there. Based on how they're all overreacting, probably in there. Probably. I mean, it's definitely not in there, but you would think it was based on the reaction of the left and how they're freaking out as usual about everything. Here's the president talking about some of the violence that's going on in D.C. and some of the statistics. And again, I asked the question, if you lived there, would you want this? The answer, of course, is no, you wouldn't. Who would? Who would want this? Who's like, oh, honey, look, we can buy that beautiful walk up. It's great. And look at all the violence around us. Look, there's a guy shooting up on the corner over there. Look, that woman just got mugged. This is perfect. We can start our family here. A child just got abducted right down the street. Beautiful. Let's make an offer. It's probably going to go for over asking price, but let's do it. Stop. People get trapped in these neighborhoods and they can't leave because nobody wants to buy houses. The houses are not worth something. So unless you've got a whole regentrification plan going on where, but if crime's out of control, it doesn't work. There's a reason why Kensington is still Kensington. And you have the hip neighborhoods that border Kensington, like Fishtown, for example. You look at it, you go, whoa, this is so cool, this neighborhood. Yeah, it's a block away from Kensington. But it's been regentrified. The problem is Kensington's so out of control, and obviously you need a lot to clean up that particular part of Philadelphia. And you don't have the cooperation of the prosecutor, the district attorney, to do it. Same situation in D.C. I mean, gentrification helps because as you regentrify neighborhoods, criminals tend to move away to other neighborhoods. They're still criminals. They haven't turned around and said, well, you know what? Now that this neighborhood's really turning around, I mean, I saw a coffee shop go in, even a couple that look like they might be gay. I think instead of being criminals, why don't we become real estate agents? Huh? What do you think? Oh, they just go to another neighborhood that has crime, that doesn't have the police manpower, that doesn't have the presence that they need to be able to crack down on these bad people. This is cut number two.
The murder rate in Washington today is higher than that of Bogota, Colombia, Mexico City, some of the places that you hear about as being the worst places on earth. Much higher. This is much higher. The number of car thefts has doubled over the past 5 years, and the number of carjackings has more than tripled. Murders in 2023 reached the highest rate probably ever. They say 25 years, but they don't know what that means because it just goes back 25 years. Can't be worse. Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a shame. That's a shame that they're going to go after criminals. Feel bad for them. I really do. Really, really do. Very sad. Very sad. The dire public safety crisis stems directly from the abject failure of the city's local leadership. The only thing I disagree with the president on is that it's not failure. This is intentional. This isn't failure. They don't want to go after criminals. Failure would be if they did. Then, yeah, you could call it a failure. But they don't. So it's actually a success. But it's a failure for the people that live there and pay taxes and want safe streets. Cut three.
This dire public safety crisis stems directly from the abject failures of the city's local leadership. The radical left city council adopted no cash bail. By the way, every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it. They don't want to change it. That's what started it in Chicago. I mean, bad politicians started it, bad leadership started it, but that was the one thing that's central, no cash bail. Somebody murders somebody and they're out on no cash bail before the day is out. Now, we're going to end that in Chicago. We're going to change the statute. I spoke with Pam and Todd and everybody. We're going to change the statute, and I'm going to have to get the Republicans to vote because the Democrats are weak on crime. Totally weak on crime.
Well, this is they want to be. Bottom line, they want to be weak on crime because they feel like the criminals are the victims of society. All right, so Friday, we're going to be at the Grand Hotel. This coming Friday, that's right, our last show of the summer, our last last live in-person show of the summer is this Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, and I want to see you there, okay? You got to come. You got to join us. It's going to be a blast. And if you've never been to a live show, we're not going to be back there until October 31st. So you want to come and you want to join us and have a great time. And if you're thinking about a getaway, the Grand Hotel in the fall is the best place to go. First of all, I love September at the Grand. I love September and October in Cape May. Weather's beautiful. The crowds are gone. And they have some amazing specials for you. Special packages to make your getaway even grander. You can book a Grand Escape weekend this fall and earn resort credits. Or make it a September to remember and book a September stay. You can still earn resort credits and save 10% off room rates. Just go to their website, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, for all the details. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. I love the gigantic outdoor heated pool, the gigantic indoor heated pool, the game room for the kids, Hemingway's restaurant, beautiful, delicious food, and handcrafted cocktails, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand. It's all there for you. And plus, if the weather is bad, you've got the indoor pool, which I think makes a huge difference, especially if you have kids. But Cape May is also wonderful for a romantic getaway weekend because they've got a winery, a couple wineries. They've got a brewery, beautiful restaurants. It's really a very special place. It's also the place to have an event, like your wedding, for example. A wedding, a special event. My friend Caitlin can help you book the most amazing, spectacular event. Just reach out to her. She was named 2025 South Jersey's Face of Weddings. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, and I will see you on Friday for our last live show, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All righty. It's Monday, mid-August, and never a slow day. Not slow at all. We used to have slow days in August, particularly on Mondays. Mondays and Fridays were torture, not that I knew. Actually, I did work Fridays back then, but I am working this Friday, and we'll be live in Cape May, so come out and join us. It's going to be a blast. The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. He's a great guy. He's about compassion. He's about care, and he has two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Just go to VeneriaDental.com. My dentist, great guy. But of course, this is the Trump era, and there's never a slow day, not even on a Monday in August. And so here we are. He opened the day today with a press conference announcing this move in D.C. I don't think the National Guard's going to be going into Anacostia, going into the hood, but I think they'll be freeing up resources in other parts of D.C. to enable the Metropolitan Police to go in there and do their job. Plus, the FBI is going to be assisting, plus ATF. Plus other federal agencies. And I think the National Guard is going to be more of a presence around the Capitol monuments, the tourist attractions. And people walk by and say, thank you for your service. And the National Guard's got to look at them and say, are you MAGA? And then if not, haul them off into re-education camp, because this is still America. Despite the meltdown of the left. Despite what Mayor Bowser says. Here's the mayor of D.C., who, unlike any rational human being on earth, would welcome the help, would say, thank you. I appreciate this. Let's sign a long-term deal here so I can keep using your resources, because we are so understaffed and crime is out of control. And I owe it to my residents who, for some reason, elected me mayor. Because they're not. Well, I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying, for some reason, they keep electing these idiots mayor. I mean, crackheads. They literally elected a crackhead. And then re-elected a crackhead. So I don't know what's going on. All I know is that most normal people would say, thanks for the help. I appreciate it. Let's have a joint task force here and let's clean up this city. Until Batman shows up, you're all I got. But she's not taking that tack. This is what she said.
School soon. My message to residents is this. We know that access to our democracy is tenuous. That is why you have heard me and many, many Washingtonians before me advocate for full statehood for the District of Columbia. We are American citizens. Our families go to war. We pay taxes and we uphold the responsibilities of citizenship. And while this action today is unsettling and unprecedented, I can't say that given some of the rhetoric of the past, that we're totally surprised.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not going to happen. And I hope to God it never happens. And I feel really, really sorry for you. I really do. But you don't have to live in D.C., you know. You don't have to. Nobody's making you. You could leave. You could live in Maryland or Virginia. They're literally right there. Literally right there. You kind of know what you're getting. You live in D.C. It's not a state. So you have a non-voting member of Congress. You don't have any senators. Sorry. But we're not going to let you become a state. I don't think it's constitutional. And B, it's a guaranteed blue state. So it's not going to happen. So if you don't like it and you want to live in a state, then move to a freaking state. I don't know what to tell you. You could go five blocks up the road or you could cross a river. You don't even have to cross a river. You could just cross a street and be in a state. Or you can cross a river. It's up to you. It's your choice. You have a choice. You could go around the Beltway. You could stop off in anywhere. I hear College Park's really nice. You could live there. Then that'd be your state. You'd have to be in a state then at that point. This would be in the state of Maryland. Prince George's County. Not exactly the best, but last time I was in College Park, I was shocked. It's booming. It's a booming town. Much different than when I was there. Of course, I'd never get accepted today, but lots changed. Anyway, big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead, including Trump is going to meet with Vladimir Putin and what happened at that steel plant in Pennsylvania. We'll give you the updates on all of that straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.